He's the famous frontman pulling double duty for both the Angels and the Screaming Jets. But even one of the busiest musos in Australia still has to stop for lunch and a chat to Oz Music's biggest names. This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso from the Screaming Jets.
And this is our Lunch with Gleeso catch-up podcast, with conversations you may have missed earlier and the parts we just didn't have time to play today.
Richard Clapton is part of the landscape of Australian rock, and it's great to have him joining us today. How you going, Richard?
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thanks, mate. Great to have you on the show and celebrating all things Australian music. Tell us what Australian music and the scene here means to you.
Well, I mean, I was really part of that subculture that came up. Like, it started around about the mid-70s, and it has been a great ride and still is a great ride, as you know.
It's over 50 years you've been performing, and you can't...
Hey, steady on! Is it really? Is that
you
right?
You can't... I think so. 1965 is when I saw your first band was back in the day. But you've always been an adventurer, haven't you? You left our shores very early on to go and see what was out in the big bad world.
Yeah, back in the day, I went back and forth between here and Europe a lot. Like, I used to go almost every year. I haven't done that for quite a while. I lived in the States for a while. I went back to San Francisco in January, this January just gone, which is great, and did a gig for Australia Day there. I still travel a bit, but not really to work all that much anymore.
The songs that you've written that have become part of the Australian landscape, I mean, I know that every time I hear, you know, some of your songs come on the radio, I'm just instantly transported to a magical time in Australian music.
Well, I hope so, because that's really what I would have liked to have achieved. And if I am achieving that, and especially Deepwater, which is fairly obvious, I mean, it's always good to play that live and I never figured out why so many Australians relate to sitting out in the Palm Beach Road. I'm so drunk and the car won't go. But there must be millions of Australians who are drunk and their car wouldn't go, I guess.
Struck a chord. Yeah. Piston broke.
Yep, exactly right.
Richard, your The Best Years of Our Lives is your autobiography. How long in the making was it? It came out, obviously, 2014. In the making was that? How long did you think, I've got to put this all down?
Well, being a slacker, it actually took me a long while. I started that out, probably the end of last century. It's funny talking like that, isn't it? But, yeah, and then I gave it a break because I was a bit pissed off. I was going to say pissed off, and I will. Because at first, when I first started writing it, I had a lot of people approaching me, and because a couple of chapters were getting handed out, and a lot of people were saying, well, where's all the dirt, you know, and asking me about gossip on Michael Hutchence, et cetera, right, which was not the reason I wanted to write a book. So I just thought, well, I don't really want to kind of write that kind of book. So I gave it a break for a few years and then came back to it, and I came back to it in bits and pieces, but it took a long while, put it that way.
And you mentioned Michael Hutchence because, of course, you worked on the very first NXS LP, didn't you?
Correct, you produced it. I think that was one of the most life-changing experiences I ever had, because prior to me meeting NXS, I was quite set in my ways. Like, I really was very much, I suppose, well, my icons back then were like Bob Dylan, Neil Young, Jackson Browne, etc., etc. And I'd had my heart set on just being a singer-songwriter. So as you can tell, like all those early albums of mine, and especially Goodbye Tiger, were very much in that country rock sort of genre. But then when I met NXS, they had such eclectic kind of tastes in music, like between the six of them. And so Michael and Andrew were like real left to centre. They're into Bernardino, My Life in the Bush of Ghosts and stuff like that, yeah. You know. Well, you can tell because, I mean, Michael, you know, after that came out with that Max Q album.
Sort
of showed his true colours. But through the whole gamut of that, I mean, I had to open up my head and start listening to a lot of different kinds of music. You know, some of the, I think it was Gary was really into XTC and bands like that. So I found it was a really healthy thing for me, because I changed tack and I made a real kind of sharp left turn when I got my head into their music. So the next thing I came out with was The Great Escape, and NXS were on that album a lot. But I think just, you know, I Am an Island, that song alone just marks a distinct left turn.
And you would have been around the same age as those guys. It would have been like, as you say, that you're just hanging out with a bunch of blokes and finding all diverse musical kind of avenues.
Yeah, and a lot of fun was had. To be honest with you, Dave, they're a bit younger than me.
Right.
So I used to be their big brother. They were so poor, I used to have to buy their lunch when we were making that album. Now, honestly, a sandwich lady used to come around to wear my studios. And like a sandwich was like about a dollar. But they didn't have a dollar, so I'd have to buy all the lunch for them. But yeah, there was a lot of fun was had in those days.
And speaking of younger people, I mean, and doing the stuff that you did in the studio, and I imagine continued to do in production and stuff, are you envious of how easy it is for young people to get in there on Pro Tools now and just go bang, 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 and put that stuff down? And I mean, we get to do it as well now when we record, obviously.
Yeah, but I don't know. Look, I don't know about you, but I got into Pro Tools quite early, but I always felt the trick was that you use the technology. Don't let the technology use
right.
you.
Yep.
And I think there's a big difference there. So, I mean, I hope I don't get too technical. But, see, for example, I mean, you can write this stuff on a computer and you can put it down. Like, there's a grid, as you know. I know you know this, Dave, but yep. I'm telling yep. the listeners. You have this grid. And it's very rigid. It's very computerized and stuff. But if you've got the right drummer and you know, we all know Mick Skelton. See, someone like Mick Skelton can come in and he can actually move that, you know, move
right,
it off the grid and go back and forth and put all this humanity back into it. Now, that's my opinion and I'm sticking to it. Because I just think it's important that you don't let the technology use you because, I mean, there's a lot of music around nowadays. I mean, you can tell it's just been made on a computer. You know, it just doesn't have that feel, you know, that we used to get.
The arse doesn't swing on it. That's the thing. But look, I find it an amazing thing now that the stuff that young people come out of, they've done on their home studio and they play it to me and I'm like, Jesus, man.
I know.
That is just crazy.
And it's all coming out of a little laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Look, I mean, I'm still sort of into it, but I've got this project. I can't talk about it right now. But we're actually going to go into a real studio, a whole band sitting around eyeballing each other and put it down the old-fashioned way.
All right. I love it.
Yeah. So that should emerge, you know, later on in the year. So maybe you'll get my point then.
Cool. So what do you got coming up this all through October, Richard?
October's actually going to be a really big month for me because every year I try and do a concert run right around Australia. So on the 12th of October, I'm playing Melbourne Recital Centre, which is a really great venue. I don't know that many bands have done it, but I did it a couple of years ago, and it's a fantastic venue, sounds really good. So the last gig was great, so let's hope we can do it again.
Awesome.
But then my big gig this month will be me playing the entire Goodbye Tiger album at the Enmore in Sydney, and that's the 20th of October. So October's a big month for Ralph.
Rock on, Ralphie. Well, it's been great to talk to you, mate. And,
thanks, mate.
I'll see you out there somewhere on the big bad road.
Yeah, sure will.
This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso.